This is Hometown Mornings News and Views. Comments and opinions expressed are of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect those of Sunrise Broadcasting. Your participation is welcome. The Hometown Morning Hotline is now open at 715-298-9888. And when calling, please turn your radio down. And now, this morning's edition of News and Views.
And joining us right now, she is the executive editor, www.wausaupilotreview.com, a reader-supported publication. You can reach her by email, editor@wausaupilotreview.com. Joined in just a few minutes by the science director for the Center for Health, Environment, and Justice, Stephen Lester. But before that, kudo time, Shireen. Your series of stories, beginning with the one about the Ponzi scheme investor involved in formerly in the River Life Village, has gotten INN recognition for 2018. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yes, our reporting on that issue was recognized this week by the Institute for Nonprofit News. They named their Best of 2018 just this week, and we were really excited to be a part of that. So,
joining us right now, again, he is the science director for the Center for Health, Environment, and Justice. Website, I believe, is cheg.org. Stephen Lester, Harvard-trained toxicologist. Mr. Lester, thank you so much for joining us, sir, and welcome.
Thank you for inviting me. I'm happy to be here.
Give us a brief resume of your background and training in the area of toxicology, and tell us a little bit about CHEJ.
Sure. I have a master's degree in toxicology from the Harvard University School of Public Health. I've been involved in public health work since the late 1970s, when I was hired to be a science advisor to the residents of the Love Canal neighborhood in Niagara Falls, New York. And shortly after that, Lois Gibbs, the woman who led that effort at Love Canal, and myself started an organization that now is the Center for Health, Environment, and Justice, and we work with grassroots community groups nationwide that have various contamination issues, and we provide science assistance and organizing help to these local organizations.
Well, you have been involved for a number of months here, at least going back to late spring. Citizens for a Clean Wausau is a group of area residents fighting what they see is, and I want to add my personal attribution to this. I see it as well. Toxic environmental threats here in Wausau. You have had the opportunity to review on multiple occasions the documentation related to both the Thomas Street neighborhood, Riverside Park, and pretty soon you may get involved with Cleveland Avenue.
Yeah, and actually, I have to say thank you for weighing in on this issue. You and I first had a conversation in early June about this issue, and I know that you've had a chance to review those documents. Back in our conversation in June, you called ignoring the dioxin issue in the neighborhood a huge mistake. Even though, you know, we have seen several people that have assured us that the park and the neighborhood is completely safe for residents. What's your view on that?
Well, I think it's very naive to say that. There's a limited testing that's been done in this neighborhood, and some of the testing that has been done have raised red flags about the contamination that's there. In the report that I wrote to the residents for Clean Nassau, I pointed out that there are federal Superfund sites. And these are the worst contaminated sites in the country, have set cleanup goals that are lower than what has been found in this neighborhood. So what that tells me is that there is substantial contamination throughout this neighborhood, and there needs to be a more thorough investigation, more testing done in this neighborhood to determine just what the level of contamination of dioxin is.
Can you just for our listeners, can you elaborate a little bit on what dioxin is? What is it? What are the impacts that it can have on the immune system, the endocrine system, and at what level that can occur?
Sure. Dioxin is one of the most toxic substances ever studied. It is generated primarily by burning incinerators. Garbage incinerators are one of the major sources of dioxin, as well as a variety of other sources of burning. It is not produced specifically for any purpose. It's a byproduct of mostly burning plastics. The thing that's unique about dioxin is that it causes effects at extraordinarily low levels. These effects include things like cancer, immune system problems, reproductive problems, liver disease, skin problems, and a broad host even beyond all of that. But it is recognized by the World Health Organization as a carcinogen. Same with the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services under the toxicology program. It is identified as a general cancer, and particularly for lung cancer.
Okay.
So it's a nasty chemical.
It's interesting that you brought up burning, because we have records that show that while LECO, or the former Crestline factory to be precise, was burning 800,000 pounds per month of wood waste, scraps, and process residue. And this happened for decades. Is that something that you think could have resulted in dioxin being emitted into the surrounding neighborhood? What's your thought on that?
Yeah, there's no question that the burning of the wood would have resulted in dioxin emissions getting into the air and then settling into the neighborhood. So that's one of the most common roots of exposure, if you will, for dioxin.
Thanks for clarifying that, because we've heard suggestion that dioxin is basically that's everywhere, and that burning would not have contributed to the contamination in the area. So that's interesting. And I've also seen some reports on house dust. There were some dust samples done years ago as part of a lawsuit. Is that a real threat to house dust from the what's in the environment in that entire neighborhood?
It very likely could be. It's hard to say. I'm not familiar with any data that looks at that, but we've seen this in other communities with not just dioxin but other metals from emissions, particularly in mining communities where you may have high levels of lead or other contaminants in the dust that settles. The problem is that when you burn any product like this that ends up into the air, it's going to get attached to dust particles. That's how it actually moves from the burning source out into the air. It attaches to particles. And so it's not surprising that it would be in dust. And it's going to settle in inconsistent patterns, because the wind will be blowing maybe predominantly in one direction over the course of a year, but on a day-to-day basis, it may move from one direction to another, depending on how much is being burned on any particular day.
Before we take a break, and again, our guest this morning, not only Shireen Seward, editor, www.wasapilotreview.com, but also Stephen Lester, the science director, Center for Health, Environment, and Justice, chej.org is the website. You talked about Superfund sites that had targeted levels of dioxins to reduce them below what we have now, or they were Superfund sites with contamination less than we have with the data you have reviewed. Which was it, sir? I wasn't quite clear.
Well, there are several, a good number of Superfund sites where dioxin has been the primary contaminant. And in one particular site that we were involved in Florida, Pensacola, Florida, there was significant, much higher levels of contamination than has been identified in this site. However, what they chose there was 30 parts per million as the cleanup goal. So anything above 30 parts per million was removed from this site in Florida, so that they identified 30 parts per trillion as the number below which would be considered quote-unquote acceptable, but anything above that would be removed as an unnecessary and unreasonable risk.
Now, you said 30 parts per trillion, correct, sir?
Yes.
Now, if we take a look at the levels here that are higher than that, is it fair to conclude, because when I did my two-year tour of duty on the Marathon County Board of Supervisors, we dealt with a landfill, which we now know received some material from this site, Crestline, perhaps after it became under Waleco's heading, if you will. Does this mean, because we were told that this could have been, I was told personally by someone with 30 years experience in pollution abatement, that Wausau could have been a Superfund site. Would you conclude, based on the data you've reviewed and the other places where the federal government has gotten involved, that this could or should be potentially a Superfund cleanup site?
Well, I think the original site should have been, where the levels of contaminant I have seen from the original Waleco site, that seemed pretty substantial, and that to me seemed like it should have been a Superfund site.
Sure, and actually, I see here the Waleco and former Crestline soil dioxin sampling showed 174 parts per billion dioxin TEQ, about 6 inches deep. So relatively speaking, how high is that, in your opinion?
That's extraordinarily high. The entire community of Times Beach, Missouri, was completely evacuated when they had they had more than one part per billion. So you're, what is it, 1,000, did you just say?
174 parts per billion.
174, so that's over 100 times greater than that.
Sure, and then test results in 2006 in the Riverside Park culvert from pretty close to where families play with their children, that showed dioxin levels of 110 parts per trillion. So
that's substantially lower, but still significant.
Still significant. Okay.
Yes.
We need to take a quick break. Again, this is News and Views. Shereen Seewert, Executive Editor, www.wausaupilotreview.com. Stephen Lester, Science Director for the Center for Health, Science, and Justice, CHEJ.org. We'll be back with more of News and Views. Shereen, Stephen Lester, I'll hang around too after this.
I just love being an elf because we get to play with everything before Santa delivers them. Yeah, check out this guitar. And these drums. Oops.
Uh-oh. Look what you've done. It's a good thing the huge Christmas sale is going on right now at Jerry's Music.
Santa, check out these great stocking stuffers. Guitar strings, drumsticks, harmonicas, PV mic with a mic stand, music stands, guitar stands. And look at all the cool hats and t-shirts.
Okay, I'm going to Jerry's Music. And while I'm gone, don't touch anything. It's the best Christmas sale ever at Jerry's Music. Get huge savings on guitars, drum sets, PAs, amps, speakers, keyboards, guitar cases, and accessories. Up to 12 months free financing to qualified buyers. And just like Santa, Jerry's Music will deliver your item to anywhere in the world. From stocking stuffers to the ultimate gift for the music lover on your list, you'll get a great deal during the best Christmas sale ever at the home of the brands, Jerry's Music. Now open every day through Christmas at 702 North 3rd Avenue in Wausau and online at jerrysmusic.com.
We wish you a Jerry's Christmas and great music all year.
Advanced Disposal Services is an integrated solid waste service company providing competitive prices for residential, commercial, construction, and industrial waste removal. Whether it's 1 yard to 40 yards, they have the container to meet your needs. Go green with Advanced Disposal Services on your next roofing project. Advanced Disposal Services now recycles shingles. Call for details and rates. They also provide a complete line of recycling and special waste services. Call Advanced Disposal Services for all your waste removal needs at 715-359-6637.
Are you ready for a new polka experience? Hi, I'm Neil Zunker, and I hope you'll join me every Saturday morning for Polka Rendezvous on WXCO. I'll be playing all your old favorites. We'll check out the latest releases from the top bands from around the world, around the country, and right here in Wisconsin. Be sure to send in your requests and special dedications to polkas at sunriseamfm.com. Just email them to polkas@sunriseamfm.com and get ready to kick off your weekend with me on our Polka Rendezvous Saturday morning at 7, right here on 1230 WXCO.
The Polka Rendezvous is brought to you by Fred Miller Automotive, J&B Enterprises, John J. Bitkin Funeral Home, Lightning Auto Care Center, the Red Granite Bar and Grill, Rib River Ballroom, and Zipper Financial. It's the Polka Rendezvous, this Saturday from 7 till 9 a.m. on Cool Oldies WXCO.
Here's your Central Wisconsin weatherology forecast. For today, areas of fog early, otherwise cloudy skies, high of 33. We will see decreasing clouds for tonight with a low near 21. Friday, lots of sun across the area, 35 degrees. Clear skies on Friday night, lows near 15. Saturday, sunny skies with a high near 36. Sunday, 36 as well. I'm meteorologist Tony Vogel for Cool Oldies WXCO.
Thank you very much, Tony. 8:53 news and views time. Fog and mist, 30 degrees, wind chill of 24. Tomorrow morning, 6:20, Jamie Beckler, Beckler on Business, Stein Time, Jason Stein, Wisconsin Policy Forum, 86th Assembly District, Republican Representative John Spiros, Morning Line, 7:15. Scott Legal, CVB Sports Authority at 7:45. Lieutenant Donna Thamavasong, 8:15, Coffee Break from the Salvation Army, and Pat Kreitlow, Chippewa Waffles, News and Views, 8:30-ish. With us till the top of the hour again, she is Executive Editor, www.wasapilotreview.com, Shireen Seward, Stephen Lester, Science Director, Center for Health, Environment, and Justice, CHEJ. And Shireen, there was a letter in November that you want to talk about now.
Sure. Stephen, you had written a letter in November to Citizens for a Clean Wausau, and we published that letter in its entirety with their permission. Our coverage, by the way, has been made possible by the Solutions Journalism Network, looking for solutions to problems just like these. In that letter, you called the risk and calculations and analysis conducted by Wisconsin toxicologists inadequate and incomplete. Can you elaborate on that? Why do you think that those tests were not complete?
Well, it's really their analysis that was incomplete, because what they failed to do was include the risk calculations for the potential of those contaminants causing cancer. The thing we know most about dioxin in terms of its public health risk is its risk for causing cancer. And for the state to not include that in their analysis is just mystifying. I don't understand how they could have done that. Even in their report, they failed to acknowledge that the cancer risk was something that they didn't look at. It makes no sense. It's a huge oversight on the part of the state.
So those cancer risks are not built into their analysis. That's not something.
No.
Okay.
No, they just did their analysis based on non-cancer risks, and that's the picture. That's part of the story. Mm-hmm. The testing that they looked at, the data is limited in its own way, but you could still look at that information and make an analysis. But to not include the cancer risk is just it's a huge oversight, and I'm not sure why they would have done this analysis without including that.
And I received an email from an alderperson on the Wausau City Council, and I want to quote from that. As to Mr. Lester's concern that cancer risks weren't included, the state toxicologists are working on a response to that. The city expects to receive it before Christmas and will share it with the public. So they're going to be addressing that as well. Are there any other methodological challenges, going academician on you, that you see in this, Mr. Lester?
Well, let me just comment briefly on the fact that they're going to respond now to the fact that there's no cancer analysis in this. It's good that they're responding to a public challenge for them not having included that. I hope they come up with a reason why they did not include this. I mean, it's toxicology 101 when it comes to something like dioxin, where cancer is the primary driver and the primary concern that everybody has when the dioxin exposures are mentioned. To not include that I can't understand why they wouldn't have included that. It's a huge error. But as far as other methodological errors, there are other inconsistencies in this report, the one by the health department, where they at some times used the highest contaminant levels to look at and their risks, and other times they chose to go to the second highest contaminant level. The sampling that they have is very limited. None of it is surface soil, where people would be in direct contact with the soil. It's 3, 6, 8, 10 inches below the surface. In some cases, some of the sample results are even deeper. So that limits what you can tell from the information because of because of that fact that of where the samples came from.
Okay.
But I think it's important that they. I think the most important thing that comes from all of this is that there are of the 16 or so samples that are available to us to look at. Some, I think it was nine of them, or six, no, not nine. I think it's six of them were five of the 16. Excuse me. Exceed the Superfund cleanup goal for the Pensacola site, as well as the state regional screening level, the US EPA regional screening level. And those numbers are primarily should be raising the red flag to the state and to the city council here that there's contaminant levels of dioxin in this neighborhood that are high. And the response for the state, in my opinion, should be to go in and do additional testing to try to determine the extent of contamination in this neighborhood so they can then do a more complete assessment of the risks for both cancer and non-cancer. Once they have sufficient testing that you can then use to as a basis for your analysis. I mean, to do their analysis based on limited testing and only do the non-cancer risk is doing no service to the public in terms of addressing the questions of what are the public health risks here.
We got about 30 seconds left, Shireen.
Basically, I mean, just one quick question. I mean, what next? How do they mitigate the risk? How do they remediate this property? What should happen next?
Well, I think the important thing is they have to do more testing. I mean, you know, they're that's what they need to do to better understand the extent of contamination here. Without additional testing, they're just making decisions that aren't based on good science.
Mr. Stephen Lester, Science Director, Center for Health, Environment, and Justice, CHEJ.org. Thank you, sir, for joining us today. Shireen Seward, Executive Editor, www.wasapilotandreview.com. Again, you can reach her by email, editor@wasapilotandreview.com. I know you'll continue to follow this story, and you'll be back next week.
Absolutely. Thank you. And thank you, Stephen.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And that's going to do it for us today. As always, be thankful, be thoughtful, take care of each other. Remember, we've got Newman Cardinal basketball tonight right here on Cool Oldies 1230 WXCO with our very own Chad Holmes behind the mic. As always, be thankful, be thoughtful, take care of each other. 6 o'clock tomorrow, news is next. Thanks for joining us.
Greatest hits of all time. Cool Oldies.